Thank you, band. We're grateful for everything you do every week, week in and week out. We come to a time to pray together, to bring the concerns of our home and our work and our world, offer them to God. There'll be a place in there for you to pray. We want to pray particularly for family of Dustin Somerville, Jamie Waters' fiancé. His mom died this past week, and then funerals to be today, and suddenly stepfather died too. So we're in the midst of a great loss right now. So let's be aware of them. Others that have had grief in recent days and loss, remember them and say a prayer for them. Today in our praying, I'll begin, and there'll be a time for you to name a joy, something for which you're grateful and thankful, and then I'll say some more prayers, and there'll be a time for you to say things for which we need help or someone needs help or to pray for something. So, thank you prayers at the first, and then help us prayers. So, let's go to God together in prayer. Lord of life, you gave us a world of beauty, and yet a time of terrors. We sense that through it all, you are constant, that you are present even when we don't notice it, that you are working night and day for our good. Lord, we confess the times we have not noticed, the time we've been dulled to your presence and your work, for the times we've not given thanks. Lord, forgive us. Lord, we thank you for the things that make life good. Hear our words of thanks just now. For new friendships, Lord, for music, for art, for beauty, Lord, for all that you have blessed us with, we praise you. And we pray for those who need your help just now, including ourselves. Hear our prayers for help and encouragement and strength. Johnny, for Jamie and Dustin, for Melissa, oh Lord, for those who need strength beyond their own, we pray, for those whose work is hard and those who search for work, we pray, for those whose parents who are frail and infirm, we pray. Lord, for our children in our communities and in our neighborhoods and in our schools and in our families, we pray. We pray for those who suffer in war, for those who offer themselves to make justice and peace in this world, for those who respond first when there's difficulty, and for firefighters and police officers and emergency personnel, we pray. Lord, bless those who are mired in poverty and can't do for their children what they would. And draw together people of goodwill in all places to serve those that hurt. Bless those who struggle with addictions. Lord, send your peace, send your help, send courage beyond our own. All of these things we ask in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray and to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, we've been considering our faith in learning, back to school and back to church. And we've been looking at where the intersection of school beginnings intersects our life. I want to read a passage, and I'm going to read from the Message. We have various translations, and they all do good jobs. I kind of like the way this one puts it. If you have a different one, or there's one from the NRSV, I think, on the screen, you can just hear the little differences. This is from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. Moses is speaking to the people. This is the commandment, the rules and regulations that God, your God, commanded me to teach you to live out in the land you're about to cross into to possess. This is so that you'll live in deep reverence before God, lifelong, observing all His rules and regulations that I'm commanding you, you and your children and your grandchildren, living good, long lives. Listen obediently, Israel. Do what you're told so that you'll have a good life, a life of abundance and bounty, just as God promised, in a land abounding in milk and honey. Attention, Israel. God, our God, God, the one and only, love God, your God, with your whole heart. Love Him with all that's in you. Love Him with all you've got. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, Lord, help us to love you with all we have, to seek your presence, to see you in our midst. Help us to hear the words that you would want heard today, and let all others pass away quickly. By, with, and through Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, I believe our schools are one of the most important institutions in our community. My family and I myself have benefited beyond measure from schools and great teachers along the way. But you know, there are some things that we don't get in schools, and schools aren't set up to teach. There's some things we learn best by homeschooling, I guess you might say. I'm thinking of those lessons that are taught at home or in the neighborhood, or maybe across the generations, from one generation to the next. To our children, if we have them, or to other children in neighborhood, in church with us, or in friendship, or nieces or nephews. From one generation to the other. This is part of the vision of the Bible, that learning would happen like that. You heard that reading today. We cannot prove it, but an educated guess would be that this Bible passage I read was the first passage that Mary and Joseph would have taught Jesus as a child. It's the core passage of the Old Testament for a Jewish person. since the beginning, in the ancient times, since Moses gave it. He said, learn this, teach it to your children. And he said, all day long. What this means is that to this day, a Jewish parent that's observant, when they tuck their child in at night, they would say this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You'll love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. They're teaching it to children. When they wake up in the morning, they'll say to their children, get up, sleepyhead. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. It's the central creed of Judaism. If you go to a Jewish household, you might see on this door face, the door frame, a little box. It's about the size of your thumb, maybe, or a little bigger. It's called a mezuzah. And a mezuzah contains a little rolled up piece of parchment. And guess what's written on it? It's this and a few other verses. And it's there. And every time you go in, you see it. And you're reminded. And you're coming out and you're going in. Remember, the Lord is one and you'll serve Him with all you have. And sometimes the observant family, they'll kiss it or they'll touch it. And if you're really observant, you might not only have one on your outer door, there'll be one on every bedroom, and certainly your children's bedroom. So in coming out, in going in rising, in sleeping, you learn these. The Lord is one. Serve Him with all your heart and your soul. And it's this fundamental lesson that the Bible teaches and that Jesus would have learned his first religious training. He probably saw his dad put on what we call phylacteries. They take this phrase, Jewish men, and it's written on a scroll and it's folded up and it's put in a little leather box, a little leather pouch. And when an Orthodox Jewish man prays, he'll wrap that around his forehead. You know, put it on your forehead. It's like keep it right there in front. It's that important. Now, don't misunderstand me. Like I said, there are a lot of good things you learn only in school. My children are so grateful, and I am grateful, that they did not have to learn algebra and geometry from their dad. Oh, I'm bad. I'm not good. They wouldn't have gotten out of school if I had had to be their teacher. I remember one time, I guess maybe they were about sixth grade, and I was calling out some questions to them for their science test at the end of the chapter. The question was, what are the states of matter? And I said, now, there are three of them. And they looked at me funny. They said, Dad, three? I said, yeah. Solid, liquid, gas. They said, Dad, since you were in school, they found another one. There's plasma. Dad, you never heard of plasma? There are four states of matter. I said, oh, okay. You know, so schools are great. And teachers are great, but there are some things that we learn in the generations, in the neighborhood, in the family, our own children or other children around us and close to us. There's faith formation that happens in those more home environment, whatever the shape of your family and the generations together. You can probably think of a lot of lessons that you learn best from those closest to you. Extracurricular. You know, the word extracurricular means outside the walls of the school. The first thing I think you learn outside of school is about grace. Grace for me means getting better than I deserve. Grace means that God loves me not on the basis of my accomplishments or my performance, but God loves me not on how well I love, but because God loves. So what's the best ritual of grace in most of our families? I think it's a birthday. The way we observe birthdays. I'm going to ask, does anybody have an interesting family ritual for observing birthdays? Anybody? Should share? I know some families have a plate, and if it's your birthday, you get to eat off the birthday plate. Anybody have a birthday plate ever? Sorry? You need to get some birthday rituals, y'all. Chocolate is always one of ours. You need a birthday ritual. Why? Henry Nouwen, writer of Christian Spiritual Life, said, I think it's more important to celebrate a birthday than a successful exam or promotion or a victory, because to celebrate a birthday means to say to someone, thank you for being you. On a birthday, we don't say, thank you for what you did or what you said or what you accomplished. No, we say, thank you for being born and being among us. On birthdays, we celebrate the present. We do not complain about what happened or speculate what will happen, but we lift someone up and let everyone say, we love you. Celebrating a birthday is a way of saying, it is good that you are alive. It's good that you are walking with me on this earth. Let us be glad and rejoice. This is the day that God has made for us to be and to be together. Birthdays could be pure grace, maybe. As a family ritual or a ritual among those that we're closest to. We learn grace in everyday living with those we live with. Because the people we live with, they know. They know us as we are. They know us before we go to work and we got a title, or before we put our makeup on. They know us. They know that we are quite likely the one who stole that last piece of lemon icebox pie and didn't have it. We just ate it. When it's gone, they know. They know who put that empty milk carton back in the refrigerator. They know. They know who left the gas gauge on empty in the car. They know. It's in the most intimate setting of home, family, the ones we deal with day after day. They're the ones who, that's where we learn how to get along. That's where we learn rules and regulations of life. And that's where we learn that our actions have consequences. But one of the consequences is not that we'll stop loving each other, or that we'll stop forgiving each other, or we will disown one another, or we will discard one another. That's not one of the consequences. That's grace. We learn about many things at school, but I think it's homework by which we learn grace. There's a second kind of thing we learn, best and first, outside of school, I think. And that's the lesson of gratitude. To be thankful that we get so much more than we deserve. We learn that through family rituals, too. One of my fondest memories of my grandfather, now gone, Grandfather Morgan, my mother's dad, was the way he said the blessing when we were gathered for meals. And so since he's gone, I've taken it as my personal, one of my missions in life to keep alive this blessing. And so I use it as, Dear Lord, smile on us. I like that, smile on us. Dear Lord, smile on us in mercy and give us thankful hearts for these and all other blessings. When my granddaddy would say it, his voice would trail off at the end. And sometimes he would throw in other things, bless Michael or something. But you couldn't hear him. So you couldn't hear the amen, so you had to kind of open one eye, And if Papa had started eating, if he had put his napkin down, you knew he was done. You sort of had to figure that out. But it was a family ritual. There are family rituals that you have through the day of saying thank you, of appreciating one another, kindnesses. It's in those daily rituals we learn to practice gratitude. I mean, our schools teach many things, and they probably teach that to some degree. But we learn to practice generosity in families. By the way, we share when we're little. I have a friend who he told me this story. He said that he gives his gift to the church every month when he pays his bills. He writes a check, mails it to the church. He said, so his five-year-old asked him one day after church, he said, Dad, and he said, when those men in church come around with those big golden bowls, offering plates, he said, why don't you ever put any money in? And he explained, I give to the church. He said, well, I've never seen you give. He said, so the next time I wrote the check, I said, y'all come in here. This is our gift. You want to put the stamp on the envelope? You want to lick it? I said, no, this is our gift. He said, and I also usually try to have a little money in my pocket when the plate comes around now, so they'll see me put that in. Because the next generation notices. They notice. We teach generosity across the generations. We do these wonderful things for the younger generation at a birthday party. Give them gifts. Wouldn't it be neat if we figured out a way not just to give them a gift, but to help set it up so that they could also give a gift on that day? A gift to somebody who's in real need. Maybe it's a gift they make to the rescue mission, or a gift they make to the Methodist Children's Home, or a gift to someone in need. And that's part of the birthday ritual. You know, that we learned we are treasured, but we also learned that one of the greatest treasures in life is figuring out how to be generous. Wouldn't that be wonderful? So some of the things we learn outside the class, we learn grace, we learn gratitude, and we learn generosity. I think there's one other thing we learn. I think that's we learn how to hallow all of life, to make all of life holy. We don't use that word hallow much in ordinary talk, except when we say the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be thy name, or holy be your name. To hallow something is to recognize that it is holy, that it is special to God. It's special to God because God made it. So one of the things we do is to teach our children to hallow life. I mentioned the mezuzah. Lynn Sweet, a Christian writer, says, you know, we ought to figure out how to mezuzah our whole life. You know, to signify in some way how everything is holy. When I was in Ireland, I learned about Celtic Christian spirituality, and there's some ancient practices that Irish Christians do that they're prayers, they say, through the day, but they're not churchy prayers. They're not church prayers. Prayers they learn in church, they're prayers that are taught in family. For example, there's the prayer in the old days, when the first one up would have to build a little fire in the fireplace, because they were going to cook on it and warm the house. And it was a prayer for kindling the fire. And it involved kind of an invocation of the Trinity and thanking God for warmth and for a new day and the light of the fire. And there was a prayer that they would use for washing their hands and for washing their face, for drying their face. It's prayers they use through the day. Not only at mealtime, but prayers they would use before they work in the field. It's this idea of hallowing all of life. I have a friend who's a pastor, Phil Schrader, and he said they figured out how to hallow driver's license in their church, in their community. And what they do is when you turn 16 and get a driver's license, the pastors either go to the youth, or the youth comes to a youth group, or even to worship service, and they have a prayer over the driver's license, and they make some promises about, now, you know, this is serious. This is what this means. We're going to pray for you to be safe, and you're going to agree to use this car responsibly in this way, you know, to hallow all of life. It happens naturally when children learn to take care of pets. To care for their pets, to love them and protect them and to feed them, because those pets are made by God and they're dear to God. Children learn to hallow life when they're taught to respect and show courtesy to the older, to the elders, but also when they're taught, you know, we don't pick on one smaller than us or weaker than us. We teach our children to hallow creation that God made when we say, no, put that in the recycling bin. And no, pick that up. We don't litter. This is God's earth. We're not going to trash it. We're teaching them to hallow this creation God made and said, this is good. We teach them to hallow life when we stop them, if we catch them demeaning someone because of their poverty or their ethnicity or the way they dress or the way they speak or because of some limitation they have. We don't do that in our family. We teach them to hallow those that are because they're dear to God. We teach our children to hallow time, to set aside times that are holy. We do it throughout the year when you have things like Thanksgiving, you know. You mark the year, Christmas and Easter, those hallowed times. Through the rituals we do in our homes, not just the things we do in the church or the community. We also hallow the week when we teach our children, well, you know, come Sunday morning, unless you're sick or unless we're on the road, you're going to be worshiping part of that time. We hallow time. We set aside that. I am so big on our schools, and I am so big on things like at the church to teach the next generation, like Vacation Bible Camp and Sunday School and Kids in Action and Youth Retreats and Camp Sumatonga, all of our summer camps, all of that. It's so wonderful. But you know, there's so many things that are homeschooled. Homework. The things we learn. Grace, generosity, gratitude, and the hallowing of life. Well, there are some other things that we say to one another across the generations. A few weeks back, some of you got an email, and I think it was on the Soul Food Facebook, asking the question, what would it be if you're younger that you'd want the older generation to know, and what is it if you're young, if you're, what would you like to know if you're grown, the next generation below you to know, and if you're young, the generations above you? And you said a lot of things on Facebook or in emails, and so those have been put together into a litany. A prayer, and at the very end, I hope I get the words right. I don't think they have, but the last word, you're going to say, God.
I would tell any age.
Yeah, and then you're going to say, God is
good. God is good.
God is good, and our response is?
All the time.
All the time, it'd be your response. Thank you. It works.
There are things I wish I could say to my parents.
Though I am an adult, there are some things that's difficult to express to them.
My parents went on to glory a long time ago, but there are still things I wish I could have said to them.
You are right more often than I care to admit.
Life is so precious, and I am so grateful for it.
I still miss you every day, but I know how much you loved me.
Sometimes I feel neglected and unseen. Sometimes I wish you would look at me and really see me.
Your parents are people, and people make mistakes. Your Heavenly Father never makes mistakes, so trust in Him.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
Mom, I do love you. But please don't call me five times a day, unless you're actually bleeding.
I wish I had listened a little better. You were right. The time is gone before you know it.
Thanks for working so hard to give me a leg up in life.
Thanks for parenting me, even as an adult.
Thanks for taking me to church and teaching me what it means to be a Christian.
Thanks for saying no to some of the things I want to do.
Just thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
One thing I wish I could tell my children is, you don't have to be perfect, but you do need to try. And why don't you start with your room?
Pursue your dreams now. Don't wait for the perfect time. It may never come.
Listen to your conscience. The single most important thing you can do is follow Jesus.
I'm praying for you day and night. Every good thing comes through God's grace.
Be kind to everyone you encounter. Don't judge others by their appearance.
Life is good, but it can also be hard. With Christ, you have strong shoulders to lean on.
Life isn't easy, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
I love you more than you can imagine.
I love you and appreciate you.
I love and appreciate you.
And I would tell any age that no matter how down and out you get or how alone you feel, if you remember I was there for you, you can handle anything. God is good. Amen.
Your words put together, spoken by these, your friends. Let's pray, shall we? Oh, Lord of life, for all the lessons we have learned from the generations above us, we give you thanks. For all that helped us figure out what is important in life, in your place in our life. Lord, we pray for the generation beneath us, for our children, for our grandchildren, for our nieces, our nephews, our neighbors' kids, for the kids in our schools, the kids in our church, for all those who look up to us, and maybe we be good models and examples. Thank you for your love, which extends to all generations. In Jesus' name, amen. Next week will be the last time in our series on back to school, back to church. And we're going to be looking at sportsmanship. How do you live with people with whom you compete, with whom you disagree and don't agree with you? And so wear your team colors if you'd like to next week. We'll have some fun with that. Wear your team colors. We won't divide the room or anything like that. And there would be too many different ones. But so that next week. We also will begin in September a 40-day reading together the same book of devotionals around the treasures of the transformed life. And the book is in the lobby if you want one. They cost us $12. You can leave it. If you don't have it but need one, take one. If we run out, there's a sign, place you can sign, and we'll have more next week. So I hope you'll be a part of that. There'll also be some small groups going on, so if you want to sit down and discuss once a week what you're reading with other people, we'll have that chance. And that will also be what I'll be talking about on Sundays. Blood drive today starts 12 and goes to 4:30. And so invite you to share in that way as you're able. And then if you are a photographer and have been taking pictures of activities of the church, either on Sunday mornings, and by the way, we invite people to do that, we would like for you to send some of those to the office if you have photographs of church activities or things we've done. So we'll be using those a little later in the season. Well, people of God, ones that God loves infinitely and tenderly, those that God made. Go into the world in peace with eyes wide open to the mercies of our Creator all around you, the very presence of the risen Christ. Go into the world. Know that you're loved by Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Go in peace.